church and family, it is great to see you today. Great to have you here, especially if you are one of our guests. I want to just say thank you. Thank you for saying yes to a friend and stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit. I know that is I can remember those moments, those first times that I'm in a place, and I just want to say thank you for doing that today. And I hope it'll be the first of many visits, and that this will be the beginning of a great relationship. Excited about our conversations today about encouragement. I'll tell you a little more about that in just a minute. But one of the things that I always like to start off with is some great smiles from the week. Whether it's homecoming dress up or whether it's just senior pictures. Or just throwback birthday shots. You know, there's some of them that are just moments of excellence that just have to live on. Speaking of living on excellence, happy anniversary, you guys, way back. Not the two on the left, they're just celebrating the Constitution. But two on the right, yeah, been married a few years. That sweet family smiles everywhere. Great to see all you guys and anniversaries and whatnot. And then our crew doing great things. Lots of good moments throughout the week that just kind of have been passed on to us and shared with us. And so I'm just thankful for it. We're continuing our study of the one another passages. Now, you'll be glad to know we're not going to hit all 100 of them or all 94 verses of them today. We're not even going to try to hit all of the 50-something plus commands that were given with the one another, but we're going to study some of these to help us understand life inside the body of Christ a little bit better and what that looks like and really what Jesus calls us to be as we live in this world together. This week, encourage one another. So thankful. You think about the world that we live in and all of the things that are going on that we have around us constantly being pumped at us. We need a little encouragement. I mean, the world needs to be encouraged. Everything, you know, from people that cut you off in the driving lanes to news that's on the television to things that you're worried about and concerned about, everything has kind of got our attention. It's just like such a downer. And I want you to know we need to hear, I love that thought from the old song, and some of you guys, this will really date us, but the old song, it said, just put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Do y'all remember that old song? I love that. What is it that we're holding on to? What is it that's helping us through life? What is it that's giving us hope? I think about this in my life, and I think, isn't that what the gospel is? The gospel that Jesus brought us into this world to understand, to bring us in life, is a gospel of hope. And hope in and of itself is encouraging. God meant for us to live this way and to be this together as a family. And so I think about this. When was the last time you felt really encouraged by somebody? What did they say? Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was your coworker. Maybe it was your spouse. And if you haven't encouraged your spouse lately, check on that one too. That's important. We need that in our marriages. We need that from parents to child. We need encouragement from our kids. Our kids need encouragement from us. But I think about that. When was the last time you encouraged someone? And you go back in your mind and you kind of scroll through things. Well, mine was just this morning when one of our kiddos, it's a highlight of one of my week when I get a little bit of a drawing from one of our kids. And this week I got this incredible drawing of the cross and the hill called Calvary, and that encourages me. Sometimes I'll even get them like post-lesson and it's got like thoughts, and it's somebody stayed awake, you know, and drew it, and kids that were like engaged, and I'm like, man, that's encouraging. Do you know that, as we studied in one of our classes on marriage not too long ago, there are five love languages that people speak, that speak to the heart of different people. One of those love languages is physical touch. You guys know I'm a hugger. Your former preacher was not, you know, and that's, you know, people are just different like that, you know. Some people, you know, thrive on hugs. Some people like wilt underneath a hug, and it's like, oh, please stop. And that's okay, because that may not be your love. That is mine, and I know it's some of yours. Highlight of my week is getting to go to our ladies' class and hug my way all the way around the room, you know, and just because that's a special way to communicate love. Another one is the spending quality time with somebody. Another thing is that some people are gift givers. You know, they communicate love with gifts. And some of you are like, I'd like that. I wish that was my husband. He was constantly. But, you know, gifts. But some people could care less about getting a gift. Oh, I don't need anything. Don't worry about it. That's not what their heart music is. Okay? For some people, it's acts of service. Some of you have that parent in your house, and she just, I mean, that's that she works and she does and she does and she does. And that's a love language that people communicate with. But the last one is the one that ties to our theme today. It's words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Maybe it's a written card or a spoken word, but I want you to know it goes a long way. Maybe it's a text message that you've sent a person. Maybe it was somebody texting me and asking me a question, or, hey, I really appreciated this from one of your messages, or hey, thank you for stopping by and seeing somebody. There's something about encouragement that just fuels us. You know, there have even been some studies where you find people doing, I mean, scientific studies, people doing better work when they're encouraged, students making better grades when they're encouraged, people having better health that have been encouraged. And there are study after study where people have looked at how does encouragement affect a person. And I just have to wonder, do you think the one that made us knew that part about us? And do you think that in knowing that part about us, that's why throughout His Word, we find this commandment or this challenge to encourage one another? It's not just to be a one-way street, and it's not to be something that's just insignificant or, you know, that's just made up. I want to encourage you right now. Over the last month and a half, you guys in baby bottles full of change. I want you to just think about this. In baby bottles full of change, and there were a few bills, I saw some, but primarily change that you brought in. You raised over $5,000 to give to young mothers, to give to a place that is trying to help people in situations of difficulty who are even trying to decide some of the most important decisions of their life. Even in our congregation, you're doing things like there's a mother in Columbia who's going to have triplets. She's already got two or three, I believe. Is that right? She's going to have triplets. And we're going to be part of putting on a shower to help. You see, you're encouraging others through your gift. They're encouraged when they find out somebody really cares. The original word, New Testament was written in the Greek language, and the original word that you find there is actually, it's kind of neat because it's very similar to the word paraclete, which is our word, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And when you look at this verb, it is to come alongside of someone to comfort them or to exhort them, to encourage. It's biblical encouragement isn't focused on just complimenting someone's haircut or telling them how good their homemade salsa is or those kind of things. Those are compliments are important. But encouragement in the scriptures refers specifically to things that are trying to encourage us through life. It's the shared hope that we have. It points out the graces or the good qualities that God has placed in a person's life. It points us to the promises that God has given us. And it assures us that if we hold on, He is faithful. We all need encouragers. You know, throughout the scripture, the Bible talks about how powerful our words are. And some of you have experienced this personally in positive ways, and others have sadly experienced it in negative ways. Be it whatever the situation, you know that the Word of God is true when it says this: the tongue has the power of life and death, Proverbs 18:21. When James writes and says, the tongue is a small part of the body and it makes great boast, consider what a whole great forest is set on fire by one of its small sparks. Proverbs 18, words of the reckless pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Again, Ephesians chapter 4, 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but accept what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. See, that's what encouragement is. It's understanding the person and speaking into the needs of their heart, of their life. It's not always a positive in the sense of something I've been doing well. Sometimes I can encourage somebody in the form of, hey, I want to show you a better way. I think you know that what you've been doing is wrong, and I want to encourage you to step in the right direction. And so there are different ways in which encouragement plays out in our lives. I think about Colossians 4, 6. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And finally, Proverbs 25, 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. It just kind of gives you the picture of this beautiful way in which God has empowered words. But the reality is, everything that God has given us for good, Satan also has taken and twisted and can use for evil. So I want you to think about encouragement today. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 and following. 24 and 25 are on the screen, but I'll start in verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning verse 23 through 25. This is what the scripture says. Let us hold firmly, or hold unswervingly, hold tightly to the hope that we profess. For he who has promised is faithful. And then he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I want you to notice some of the things that the Hebrew writer says to us. He says, first and foremost, I want you to think about this. Hold on to the goodness of God. In the midst of life, when things are down, hold on to the goodness of God. God is good all the time, and all the time. You know that. We talk about that and how important that is. Because there are times where it's difficult and we're in bad situations, but God is still good even when times are bad. And so he says, you hold on to it. He says, hold on to it unswervingly. I'm not a great driver, okay? And swervingly is kind of part of my, you know, driving repertoire. And occasionally, I have been pulled over for swerving. While the officer thought he might find someone that was intoxicated driving, he just found someone that really was just looking at the tree on the side of the road, or watching the cars. It's just one of those things. Sometimes I'll just get a little distracted, you know? And so it wasn't that I was, but I swerved. And man, he noticed the swerve. Got in trouble. You get in a little trouble when you're swerving. I mean, I guess there's a real ticket to write somebody for swerving. But it wasn't good, Chet. And I think about that in life. How many times do we, as we're going through life, we're just kind of, we're living, we're wanting to live on purpose for God. We're wanting to live in the faith, and we're kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool, pretty. And then we're like all over the place. I mean, have you been there? I know this is what God wants me to do. This is who I'm supposed to be. This is how he's given me life, and he's given me hope and direction, future, forgiveness. And I am, man, this is where I want to be. And it's like, well, that's, and I'm all over the place. And you realize eventually swerving produces disaster, produces accidents, produces pulling off the road and spinning and going in life, going out of control. He says, you hold on to your faith without swerving. He said, hold on to the hope that we possess. Why? Not because your preacher's got it all together. Not because everybody in this room is always going to do the right thing, because they're not. They're human just like you. These aren't perfect people, but we have a perfect Savior. And we're trying to be more like Him every day. And I think about that. He says, you hold on to this hope because the one who has called us, the one who's promised, is faithful. That's something that should encourage us. That God's goodness, His faithfulness, should encourage us in what we do. So we hold on to it. We hold on tightly with hope. We think of ways in which we can motivate others. That word, to spur. Some of you cowboys, you know, you cowboy fans, you see the old cowboy, the spurs. That's not really a positive image to me, you know, kicking in the side of the horse. But I think the idea of being, sometimes we need to be nudged in positive directions to do things better. And that's an encouragement. And he says, you know, they're trying to motivate us. People, we're trying to be motivated to do a lot of things today. Advertisement is all about motivating us to do something. Advertising around the world says either you're not cool enough because you don't have these shoes, you're not pretty enough because you're not wearing this makeup, you're not fashionable enough because you don't have this dress or this logo or this whatever. And everything about all of that stuff goes, man, my life's terrible. It's motivating you to buy their product. It's not motivating you to the joy that can't be taken when you don't have stuff, when you don't have the finances to buy those stuff. I have seen more people in my travels around the world who have less than anybody I have ever met, but that have more joy. I've seen children in Nicaragua who are taking a milk carton, kicking it around and playing soccer with no shoes on, no shirt, just a little pair of shorts, and they are full of joy like you've never seen. And it was just because somebody tossed them, they found a milk carton in the trash they could make into a soccer ball. You see, what the Hebrew writer tells us is we have to be reminded of the goodness that God has given to us. And then we have to let that reminder motivate us, not to just going, oh, wow, isn't this great? I love the way things are. It's so nice. But to motivate us to do something good with it, to bless somebody else with what God has blessed us with. And He doesn't just put it in the parameters of just the here and now. He says, look, this matters. This matters because guess what? We're doing this all the more and more, being encouraged more and more, because we know that there is a day that is approaching. And that day is the return of the Lord. That's the day that you perhaps take your last breath. That's the day that you stand before God and you give an account for your life. And I'm reminded as He speaks of this last day, my mind goes to another passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And Paul is writing to a group of Christians, and he's like, they're torn up because they misunderstood just a little bit. They thought when Jesus said he was coming back, he was like coming back like pretty soon. I mean, that was their anticipation. And so they thought they had missed out. They're like, where is he? Or they were being discouraged in their faith. And listen to what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, beginning in verse 13, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep." You see, he says, the thing that differentiates life of hope and no hope is, where's Jesus in the equation? Where is Jesus in that person's life, that person's death? "According to the Lord's word, we tell you, those who are still alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself," I think this is that the day approaching, "for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and all of the dead in Christ will rise first." You see, there's a qualifier there. The dead where? The dead that are in Christ. We talk about often the blessings that are found in Jesus and in our relationship with Jesus. We talk about Romans chapter 6, how when a person's believing and repentant heart comes in contact with Jesus as we are buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life. We talk about how it is by grace through faith we are saved, but that is found in a place called Christ. And he says to those who are dead in Christ, they will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Then Paul finishes this paragraph with this: "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." You see, what encouragement does is it gives us hope in the face of death. It's a reminder of what God has done for us in Christ's life and throughout the history of man, to remind us that wherever we are in this moment in time in our lives, that God is able to do the same thing for us who love Him and who are called according to His purposes. Consider how we can encourage each other to keep doing good, not to give up, to keep coming together, because this is a time that we're encouraged, to keep finding ways in which we're able to live and to do right more and more as the day approaches. I put the hyena up there, the spotted hyena. It is said that this is one of the most crafty and intelligent hunters in the Serengeti. And you guys see it and probably immediately, like me, go to the Lion King, right? Are we there? But what they do is how they work together to go after their prey. What they'll do is they'll start by separating out a mother and one of her calves from the herd. And they'll separate then the mother from the calf. And at this point, the calf is doomed. Too many hyenas working together for the calf to defend itself. And even though they're very much smaller, they're still too many, and they're too fast. And as long as the calf is able to stay with the herd, it's protected. But as soon as it becomes separated out and isolated, it's dead. And I think the same could be said of us. Because Satan wants nothing more than to isolate us into thinking that we're the only one that's feeling the way we're feeling. That we're the only one that's ever been through this situation. That we're the only one that has ever become lonely or discouraged or feels like we're finding ourselves unable to defend ourselves against the enemy. You see, that's the one another part of the church. That's the herd that we're called to be a part of. That's the protection that comes from encouraging one another, from loving one another, from praying for one another, for caring for one another, from confessing our faults to one another, to helping and serving one another. You see, those things are all built-in blessings for us. We shared this passage already from 1 Thessalonians 4, but it's to be an encouragement when we think about what's next. A lot of folks think about what's next, but if God's not in that equation, their answer is just, well, there's nothing next. But there is. There's more to life than just what we have here. And so we want to encourage others with these words. Again, therefore, encourage one another and build each other just as in fact you are doing. Encourage each other. We ought to always thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because the Lord chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through the belief in the truth. He called you through the gospel that you might have the glory that is in our Lord Jesus. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings that we pass to you. Whether by word or mouth or by letter, may the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us by His grace, He's given us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and every word. So I want you to think about this idea. How do we encourage? First off, I think speak life to people. Use your words well. Use your words to uplift, to compliment genuinely. Simply saying to somebody, hey, you're doing a good job, can change somebody's day. Expressing appreciation. I try to find people from time to time that I feel like may not ever get that. And as I'm walking, maybe it's through a hospital to go make a visit, and I might see a custodian just doing their job. I just come up to them sometimes and I'll say, hey, I really appreciate what you do. This place looks fantastic. You have no idea of knowing what just a few words could do to somebody's life, somebody's heart in that moment. So speak life and then listen actively. Sometimes the best encouragement we can give somebody is just by listening to them and showing empathy and understanding. By listening, we say, you matter to me. I care. And that's an encouragement to them. Be present. Make an effort to be there for people who are struggling. Your presence alone can be a source of great comfort. Pray for others. Let them know you're praying for them. Pray with them if they're willing, if that's something that they're okay with. And just say, hey, can I just pray with you right now? Because a lot of times we'll say the words, hey, I'll be praying for you. But we won't go right, we won't take it to that and say, can I just pray with you right now? What an encouragement it is to have somebody pray for you. And then I think it's encouraging when you share your story with somebody. You know, when you talk about how God has been faithful in your life, sometimes your story can give hope and inspire others in what it is that they're going through. And so I think we encourage in that way, in a powerful way. There was a fellow by the name of Garrett Kell, and he had written an article recently. And some of the things that he shared, I thought it was powerful to say, pray for God to make you an encourager. Ask Him to give you that heart. Think about people throughout the Scriptures like Barnabas, who was an encourager, and go study their life and look at how he was and what a cheerleader for others that he became. Try to make encouragement a daily discipline. Some of us, it's naturally. That's a natural thing. But for other of us, it will be more of a spiritual discipline that we have to develop and to kind of chart out and go, hey, I'm going to write somebody a note today. I'm going to send a card. I'm going to make a few phone calls, or I'm going to text somebody to let them know I'm thinking about them. Encourage people. Pray for God to show you who it is that needs your encouragement. Ask Him for that wisdom and that clarity. Use Scripture to encourage. You know, I was thinking just this week about some of my favorite scriptures of encouragement. Philippians 4:13, where Paul's in a jail cell, he's alone, he's about to face death, and he goes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I'm thinking about, man, is that not encouraging? I think about Romans 8:31, and we know if God is for us, who can be against us? That's encouraging. And we know this. God's got this. Holding His hand, anything is possible. You know, I want to close this morning with just this thought. First of all, I want to say again, thank you for coming. I know that some of us are going through different things in this moment, and that life's hard. But God is able. He's able to help us and bless us and strengthen us through whatever it is that we're about to be going through. But one of the blessings of one another is that we don't have to go through it alone. And this morning, one of the things that we always do, we sing a song. We call it the Song of Encouragement. Really, because it's designed for, as we sing it, for you to think about your life. For you to think about your most important asset that you have. The one thing that you will never lose, and the one thing that has the potential to pay dividends throughout eternity, and that's your soul. And my question is, as we sang that song just a moment ago before I came to speak, it is well with my soul. As you sang that song, were you able to sing it with all sincerity? Because I know sometimes we sing songs, but we don't really reflect as much on what those songs are saying. And my encouragement to you today is to sincerely reflect on that thought. Is it well with my soul? Because of all the things that matter in this life, that's the only one that will matter after this life. And so I want to challenge you, if you are not a Christian, I would love, there are people here who would love to talk to you about it. Ask the question. Reach out. Maybe it's coming forward in a public way and saying, hey, I want to know more. I want to know what it means to become a Christian. I want to know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. What does that look like? Or maybe you're going through something privately and you're like, I really wish I had somebody just to pray with. We've got some of our shepherds will be in the back and around the room, and there'll be some down front. If you have a need that you'd like somebody to pray with you about, just step out. As moms and dads are going to get their kids, as they're going back to pick up kids, just slip out like you got a kid and walk back and talk to one of our shepherds. Let them pray with you this morning. Most of all, I want to just encourage you to keep walking. Keep walking with the Lord. Keep walking in His light. And keep helping others to do the same. Thank you for being here this morning. And if there's any way we can help you, any way we can be a blessing for you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?